heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Everybody around Biden, his supporters, his fans, even his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, they all know that Joe Biden is not up to the test. And even if he was up to the test, I mean, the other thing you have to ask yourself, is America interested in a socialist program? Because that's what Joe Biden represents, is socialism. There's that struggle that's been happening in the Democrat Party for really the last many years, but it's out in the open now. And you're seeing that with the convergence of Bernie Sanders and AOC and Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and all of these influences. And of course, Barack Obama, that are all in that campaign. You know, Barack Obama was able to hide the best he could try to hide his Marxist background and tendencies, although most of us know what he was all about. But now it's like he can truly hide just behind Joe Biden and push his false Marxist agenda. Again, his transformation of America that he has promised from his early political days as a community organizer. It really is the tale of two Americas that we're looking at here. This is all about hiding Biden right now. Hiding Biden. That's what this is all about. How long can they hide him? Under what rock or what stone? Or they don't want him out in the daylight. They don't want him answer. So the coronavirus is very, very handy right now for the Democrat Party. Everybody knows it. His supporters know it. His fans know it again. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why his wife, Jill Biden, why she would even tolerate this, or even put her husband, who obviously is in ailing health. I mean, everybody knows that as well. There's no secret to any of this. It's out there. Now, we can argue policy. We can argue which way we want to take the country, and we will. But looking at this candidate, you know, you have to begin to wonder, what do they have up their sleeve? What are they really up to? The Socialist Democrat Party I'm speaking about, you know full well they're working overtime and trying to figure out how long they can keep Joe Biden hidden. You got to figure he's not doing any of the rallies. There is no convention. He's not even going to go to any convention. There'll be no speech there. You know, again, this is made to order. You couldn't ask for a better situation if you were looking for a candidate that you were just going to use a name only. And somebody who wasn't going to be at the rally, somebody who wasn't going to be handshaking, meeting. There's no interviews unless it's some friendly source. And even those he can't get through. Even with the softball questions, he's having trouble. You know, I seen a video on USA Today here where Hillary Clinton was endorsing. You've seen it where Hillary Clinton was endorsing Biden. And you could even hear, you know, I wonder what professionals, what the doctors think when they listen to somebody like Joe Biden, because just in the beginning of that video, as he introduces Hillary Clinton, you can hear the pauses in the words and the trouble with just putting those words and syllables together to introduce Hillary so Hillary can promote and support him and give Biden her endorsement. And what is one of the most awkward endorsements I've ever seen? You know, you see Hillary Clinton up there talking and, you know, in the video and, I'm so excited to be here, Joe. Oh, I'm so honored. And of course he, before that said, you know, and that she should be president now. That was his way of honoring her to shut her up before she gets off on a rampage again about how she lost the 2016 election for the 952nd time on video somewhere, right? But that one video and looking at Joe Biden and seeing his the frailty of the man, and not just his lack of being able to orate his thoughts and communicate with the American people, but how frail the man looks. I mean, he's not doing well. You know, we all age differently. You can't compare when they say, well, but this other one, you know, Trump is right around the same age, or this, everybody ages. He would be the oldest ever elected to office, if that says anything to you. And some people can handle it at that point, potentially. I mean, if you're in good health, I know people, we've got them on the platform here who are in their 80s, and they're remarkable. I mean, absolutely remarkable people. I mean, they were as bright as when they were in their 50s. And could even match people in their 50s. But Joe Biden is no 50-year-old. He doesn't come close. Sadly, it's got the best of him. But putting all that aside a moment, okay? Just looking at the policies, people, of where do we want to take America, just put all that aside, his frailty and the games they're playing, and, you know, and then take a look at, you know, what kind of a future we want for our country. You know, I mean, the differences couldn't be clearer at this point, could not be clearer. I mean, just take a look at, you know, what's happening with Biden's campaign. I mean, Bernie Sanders, and in fact, one of the headlines right with USA Today in that same video, AOC and other Bernie Sanders allies are helping shape policy for Joe Biden. Here's who else is helping. And of course, gets into Hillary Clinton and the endorsement and others like Kerry. And many others. So you see what's happened here. So all of those socialist Marxist policies and programs, I mean, Bernie, he doesn't hide it. He is a socialist. That's why they, you know, they knew they couldn't sell that on to the American people, because clearly he would have been the nominee in 2016. He would have legitimately been running against Donald Trump. And then this decision we would have had to make in 2016. Right? And we would have had to make that decision then of an out-of-the-closet, out-of-the-box socialist. Whereas, you know, at least Hillary Clinton, she hides it. You actually have to be honorable and prefer a Bernie Sanders. I mean, yeah, he's a nut job. He's like that crazy professor in the Back to the Future. I mean, we get that. But at least he's honest about it, and he puts it out there and calls himself a devout socialist. He doesn't hide the point, you know? So many others are hiding it. Same thing with AOC. You know, she's right out there in the open with it as well. You know, I mean, again, we don't want those policies. We don't want their socialist agenda. We don't want a new Green Deal. We don't want anything that they offer. There's nothing about their policies of high taxes, incredible regulations. What the hell is that? What does that do for our country? I mean, you know, just take a look at all of their, just on policy alone, that's all we really have to look at, people. So putting, again, his frailty aside, putting together the dirty tricks aside, putting together, you know, putting aside all of that and the strangeness and oddness of this time and moment of the Corona China virus, right? Put all that aside. And just based on policy, are these the policies you're looking for America? Is this the future for America? A Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, AOC, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, policy / Barack Obama, is that the future? I mean, America has to be on to this at this point. I mean, America has to know what they're up to. I mean, you see, they're no longer hiding it. At one point, it was kind of a funny talking point. Oh, yeah, Bernie Sanders, the crazy man from Vermont, the socialist, the out-of-the-closet socialist. And it was, you know, one point it was kind of funny, and it was maybe a late-night joke with the comedians, probably. You know, way past that now, people. I mean, Bernie Sanders is... has done more to reshape the Democrat Party. He's also done more to damage the Democrat Party than certainly anyone that I can recall in past times. Putting aside now number 44, Barack Obama. But again, they on the left, they see him as a cult figure. I mean, they see very much Barack Obama as their rock star Superman kind of guy. And so that doesn't even count, you see. But I'm talking about taking the Democrat Party for what they were and moving them so far to the left, right off the edge of the cliff, that you can't not recognize them at all. That's a bad turn, people. That's a wrong turn. That's going to be a wrong turn for America, for sure. So just on that merit alone of socialist Marxist policies and a, you know, freedom, less regulations, capitalism, people who love our Constitution, people who honor America, people who are patriotic, people who want to get our affairs in order so we don't bankrupt the country, right? Which we're there now. I mean, we have to reverse course here and do an about face to reclaim our position in the world because we're headed down a wicked, wicked path. That's what makes this upcoming election so critical, so, so serious. And it's not just this one. 2024, again, you know, will be equally critically important because Trump won't be on the ballot. And that's going to be the next challenge. Who will be on the ballot for the conservative movement in this nation? Got to think about that, people. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, don't jump ahead. Don't worry about it. Let's just get 2020. You have to think ahead. You have to look and see who's in the bullpen, who's coming up, who would be the right. I mean, I can think of a few names I can see in there that I would love to have as a president, good conservatives. Just take a look at some of the success of the Freedom Caucus and some of those people in there that are really part of the Tea Party movement. You know, if you want to get back to practicality, people who can, you know, add up 2 + 2 and not come up with, 28, which is what the political class is doing today. They're bankrupting our nation. And of course, all this free money and COVID money is on top of it. That is going to, just put us in a tailspin. And nobody's really talking about that either. We brought that up on the weekend on Viewpoint, in fact, the incredible challenges ahead for this nation. I mean, you know, right now it's the struggle of just trying to get through the COVID business that people are stuck with right now, because it has totally, it's morphed our mindset in our nation in a way that was unpredictable. It has changed the way people think, the way they behave. It has created a weirdness out in the communities and out in any public place where there's people. There's just a sense of weirdness out there. And all that is compliments of the times. People can feel it and they know. Problem is, a lot of this is just really just tremendous amount of games being played. All of these games we'll talk about later, but you know, the whole wear your mask and behave yourself and, you know, don't go out, don't do this, don't do that. And it's all become ridiculous, I think, absolutely ridiculous. Let's talk a little bit today about the big picture election. Conventions are upon us here. And, it's the strangest thing again, because all of the rules of engagement to be a presidential candidate have been washed down the drain, the corona drain, that is. And basically, at this point, Joe Biden is getting a pass all the way through. Now, he gets a pass right out of the gate from the media. I mean, they are protecting him, no doubt. And they would have protected him even without these conditions, without a doubt. But at least it would have been a fairer playing field. You know, it would have, you know, had some sort of rules of engagement that would have been fair for everybody. But that's no longer the case now, because they are indeed hiding Biden, but they don't really have a choice. In fact, I'm curious to see how this all works through to November 3rd, you know, how the debates, if they do come off, and of course, many of us are very critical about that and thinking they probably may not come off, that something may come up at the last minute, or they're thinking of something I've heard reports that the circle around him in the campaign and the Biden campaign I'm speaking about, they are fearful, majorly fearful of what will happen. I am sure the power brokers are coming up with a plan A, B, C, maybe D as well, that they're thinking about and how they can handle this or roll that out or do the switch and bait at the last minute. Yeah, it's, you know, there are all kinds of possibilities here. But right now they're playing the cards that they have. How do you have some sort of an event in Milwaukee and you don't have your candidate there? I mean, you're going to bring it to what, some sort of a conclusion and celebrate something, but he's not even part of it somehow. And any part they do have him, you know it's going to implode. And then the question becomes, well, how much can the media hide that? I mean, how much and how long can they hide that if it becomes very obvious? So far, they are absolutely hiding all of it. Well, now they're saying, you know what? Joe Biden shouldn't even debate. Well, Joe Lockhart, the former White House press secretary for Bill Clinton, right? So he had an op-ed here about a week and a half ago urging Joe Biden to skip debating President Trump before the November election. Don't do any debates, he says. Now, this is the former press secretary for Bill Clinton, Lockhart. He says he shouldn't be, and he's not the only one now. You're seeing this come up a lot in the media. So he wrote an op-ed. He said, whatever you do, don't debate Trump. He put that on CNN, of course, the good old communist news network there, you know. And he goes on to say, and I quote here, Trump has made more than 20,000 misleading or false statements. This was, of course, according to the very reliable Washington Post, naturally. Them and the New York Times, who specialize in anonymous sources, Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous, never know who they are, but that's how they report the news today. Somebody sits in a back room and just puts these things out there, these fireballs, one after the next. But that it's a whole different sense of journalism today. It's a whole different beat here. Anonymous. We'll just file that under anonymous. Yeah, just say this happened. We'll say the DOJ, the Justice Department did this and said that. And yeah, anonymous. We'll send that letter over there. We'll post it as a column, anonymous. Oh, someone said that about Trump. Oh, he had another thing over here and he did that to that one. Anonymous. I mean, they just one after the next and it's all anonymous. I mean, journalism is, it's a disgrace, absolute disgrace. So Lockhart says Trump has made more than 20,000 misleading or false statements, according to the Washington Post again. It's a fool's errand to enter the ring with someone who can't follow the rules or the truth. Biden will undoubtedly take heat from Republicans and the media for skipping, give me a break, the media, for skipping the debates. But it's worth the risk, Lockhart says, as trying to debate someone incapable of telling the truth is an impossible contest to win. Well, that's just a brilliant analysis. That's a brilliant op-ed from Joe Lockhart, without a doubt. First of all, people, the definition of politics pretty much is lying. I mean, they've all done it. They've done it from the beginning. In fact, the one guy who ends up doing what he says he's going to do with the voters is Trump, coincidentally. But as far as an establishment political figure goes, on the left or the right, they all lie. That's a definition of running for political office in Washington, D.C. Now, I would beg to differ that Trump is the exception to that rule, oddly enough. He's the one who just puts it out there. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, too bad. You know, he is why he scares the hell out of them. They call him unpredictable. Well, no kidding. He's unpredictable in your world because your predictability in political politics and the way you people have operated this thing is pretty sick. Yeah, so that he would be unpredictable. I mean, I get that claim. Trump is unpredictable. I mean, I hear you. Of course he's unpredictable. So I love Lockhart here with this whole analysis here. So, I mean, like, so all of a sudden he's got, well, Trump's not telling the truth. So, you know what? Don't debate him. Well, that's for the American people to decide. That's not for you, Mr. Former Press Secretary, to decide. And it's not for the media to decide either. It's for the American people. That's what a debate is. You fact check it after the fact and you find out who did tell the truth or who did fudge the truth. It happens at every debate. That's the whole point of a debate, is to flush it out. So where the hell's Lockhart coming from? Well, the guy lies. We don't like what he says. What he's really saying is we don't like his policy and his moral values. And his policies stink. That's what he's saying. So therefore, don't debate him. Well, the real reason Lockhart doesn't want Biden to debate Trump is pretty obvious to you, isn't it now? He doesn't want him to debate because he wants to keep hiding Biden. It's all about hiding Biden. That's what this is all about. Hide the Bide. Hide the Bide. That's what they want to do. So that's Lockhart. Yeah, Lockhart, you might as well blame it on, well, the weather isn't just quite right in Milwaukee. So we're not going to have him there. And we're not going to have him at these universities because we don't like their politics of some sort. Well, we don't like the colors of their flag, the university flag. We don't like their mascot. We don't like what they eat for breakfast. Doesn't really matter what they don't like, does it now? You know? Yeah, might as well blame it on something. Well, he lies. We don't want to do this debate thing because he lies too much. Well, the New York Post editorial board, they love this, last week here. Just how dumb do you think Americans are? Question mark. Well, that is a big question mark, isn't it? Just how dumb do you think Americans are? Well, we're hoping they're not dumb here. We're hoping they know exactly what's going on. I'm going to put my faith and confidence with the American people. I have to believe that even the Democrats know this, and the independents and those moderates, they know this. And if they all know this and they know what I'm speaking to you today about, well, then the good news is, well, America wins by a landslide in November. If this is all real and this happens the way I'm stating here, then yeah, America wins by a landslide. I mean, it has to be that way if they realize all of this. If they don't, we're in a heap of trouble, you see? So that New York Post editorial board, the real reasons Dems don't want Uncle Joe in a live, unscripted square off could not be clearer. They're absolutely terrified he'll be a disaster. Now, even when Joe had his marbles and was looking pretty dapper, Joe was a gaffe machine, as you know, and he would screw up. When he was normal, he would screw up. You remember the comment he made about put them back in chains? I mean, this guy has, he could legitimately have a series of best, if they could get all the gaffes Biden has had in his political career, which I think is about 182 years right about now that he's been up there. But if you take all of those years, he'd have a whole series of bestsellers, people. I mean, a whole series of them. The guy would be, he'd be a famous author. He wouldn't have to run for politics, you see? He'd be a famous author. The gaffe machine, you know, version one, version two, version 300. So even when Joe was normal, Joe would get that way. And so now that Joe is having real troubles, and you know, you don't want to make fun of this kind of thing. I've said to you before, I'm going to say it again. This is not a late night joke. Dementia, Alzheimer's is not a funny, funny thing. It's a sad thing. Sad. No matter who has it, it's sad. I keep praying every day that our nation comes up with an answer, a solution, a fix, a cure for Alzheimer's, for dementia. I pray all the time. You've seen great people go down because of that. The biggest one that always comes to my mind is Ronald Reagan in his end years, you know, with Nancy, former first lady, and you know, what had happened to him. You could see the decline after he had left the White House. Many said it was challenging for him in those end months of the administration. Well, you've seen this happen to a lot of people. It's happened to a lot of big names. It's happened to, you know, everybody. I mean, just regular, real people. It doesn't matter, you know, how high your status goes. This kind of a hideous disease attacks anyone and everyone that it wants to. So I don't make fun of that. I don't think that's a fun. I know a lot of Republicans, conservatives are out there making fun of Joe's thinking and his memory lapse and all that. It's become a one meme after the next on social media for sure. But I don't think it's funny, people. And if it was your dad or your mom or your brother or your father or your husband or your friend, your loved one, it's not funny at all. It's sad is what it is. But what's even sadder is when your wife doesn't admit the truth and pushes you out there to become president and you can't do it. And what's even sadder is those friends and that collection of people around Joe who know he's not up to the challenge, regardless that he has socialist Marxist policies and new green deals and run in favor with Bernie Sanders and AOC and Hillary Clinton and Obama and that whole group of socialist Marxists. It's bad enough. But the worst part about it, people, is that the man can't do the job, no matter what you think, no matter what anybody thinks. His day in the sun has passed now. And this brings back a lot of the points we talk about all the time about, you know, a lot of the politics in Washington and our senators and congressmen and term limits and why people should not be in that business when they're 80 and 90 year old. Now, again, I want to preface that. I know 80 year olds and 85 and 80 that are truly amazing, 90 year olds that are unbelievable. I mean, there are people. Got them on the platform. Here's some of them. And they are brilliant, brilliant people. In their 80s, they're as good as they were when they were in their 50s. And I've got other friends who are in their late 80s and 90s who are as bright as the 100-watt light bulb could be. But there are times, people, where people get the sickness in their 60s. I've heard people get it in their 50s even. But 60s and certainly early 70s, it can attack you in a big way. You know, it's tricky. I keep thinking, what are the things we can do to prevent this? And it's, you know, using your brain and exercising your brain, it's a muscle. And the more you can use that, and the more you do as you get into your older years, the better off we all are, without a doubt. Like everything, we either use it or lose it. Same thing with our bodies and our lifestyle and our health and our well-being. It's the same thing. Our brains are the same way, really. So with Joe, again, you know, maybe if anything, this has brought up the fact that this is a national tragedy, dementia and Alzheimer's. Possibly he is a good spokesman for that at this point. You know, really, all things being fair. But you know, it's not going to end well. There's no way this is going to end well, no matter what happens. I mean, win, lose, draw, whatever happens. I mean, he can't win. I mean, that, we can't let that happen. That's not a possibility. I don't imagine America's going to do that. You know, give it to some unknown person because they know Biden can't do the job. And they don't want socialist Marxist policies anyways. Even if he didn't have dementia in all times, which he does. You know, even wasn't frail, which he is. You know, even if he didn't have those challenges in communication, which he does, his Marxist socialist policies are not what we want in this nation. And that should make all the difference, people. You see? Should make all the difference. It's funny now looking at a lot of the debates and the predictions and the people who are saying don't debate. There are others who are saying don't debate the president. I mean, it's all legit now. Whereas if President Trump had come out and said, well, you know what? I don't want to debate this, you know, person, whoever this person was, some amazing scholar who was running for president, who he was concerned with. And I know you really can't envision this in your minds because I doubt President Trump would be worried about any particular one. But let's say there was some amazing young scholar who was running for president and he was like the most brilliant thing we ever seen. And President Trump came out and said, well, you know what? Or his people came out and said, well, we're not going to debate. You know, we're not going to debate. Okay. Trump is not going to debate. Sorry. Donald Trump is not going to debate. What do you think they do? Oh my God. Boy, you'd hear those screams. You'd hear them from the San Diego port there, all the way up to the far reaches of Maine. Without a doubt, people would be aghast that anybody would suggest such a thing, that it's immoral, it's unconscionable that they're giving this guy a pass because he's not as bright as that young Deschen scholar, whoever that is or was, right? That's what would happen. But in this case here, it's all good. They're actually encouraging no debates. And I wonder why that is, people. Let's figure this out together, huh?
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit HealthyCell.com/sleep. That's HealthyCell.com/sleep.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So Elizabeth Drew, I don't know if that's Nancy Drew's sister or aunt or not. I don't know, But Elizabeth, she has a piece, an article in the New York Times on early August here with a big headline that was screaming attention. Let's scrap the presidential debates. And it starts this way here. You'll love this. Nervous managers of the scheduled 2020 presidential debates are shuffling the logistics and locations to deal with the threat of the coronavirus, and they are doing that. That is indeed happening. But here's a better idea, she suggests. Scrap them all together, and not for health reasons, she goes on to say. And she finishes up this way. This is her analysis now. The debates have never made sense as a test for presidential leadership. In fact, one could argue that they reward precisely the opposite of what we want in a president. When we were serious about the presidency, we wanted intelligence, thoughtfulness, knowledge, empathy, and to be sure, likability. It should also go without saying dignity. Well, that was her nice way of trying to hit the fact of suggesting that President Donald Trump doesn't have any of those qualities, possibly is what Drew is saying there. So now based on that, well, she just wants to scrap the debates because they don't really matter. Not for health reasons, she says, but for these reasons. You know, and so you're getting all kinds of things from the left here as far as scrapping the debates, right? And then Lockhart, again, that press secretary for Billy Bob Clinton, well, he went on and pointed out that the polls are unfavorable for Trump, right? And every quantitative signal and historical, the president points to a surefire loss for the president in November. He's already got it all figured out, the whole race here. But despite the odds, he pointed out that Biden could still lose, but it would largely have to be a self-inflicted injury. So let's pass on those debates, he says. Can you believe this, people? Can you believe? So you see, in order to ensure Joe Biden is the last man standing, and because all these qualities don't fit that they think they fit President Trump, and because, you know, they don't want Biden to have a self-inflicted injury, God forbid he would do a gaffe for the first time ever in his life, right? So for all those reasons, and because, you know, the president's behind in the poll, we should not debate. We should. Those are all the reasons why. Are you seeing through this thin veil of the bullshit yet, people? Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And you have to wonder, who's fallen for this? Has anybody fallen for this? So a lot of people are suspect on whether there will be debates or not, or what they will look like. And I think a lot of people are anticipating that something will happen or come up or get in the way for these things to collapse at the last minute. Who knows what it would be? He's got a viral infection. Something happened on the way to the forum. Of course, he's not going to be at the forum. Everything's virtual, too, by the way. Everything's virtual. That's another thing. I noticed the interviews this past week or two with Dr. Jill Biden, Joe's wife. You know, she's in the room with reporters and a real hand because she's very favorable, very likable, very good camera skills, and a really good orator of facts. I mean, she speaks well, and she looks great. You know, and you see her, and she's right, you know. But then Joe, they always have him on a screen somewhere or three times removed, wherever his secret basement is, they joke about all the time, or wherever they have him, on some other distant planet of some sort. And sadly, his mind is on a distant planet, actually. You know, that's the sad reality of that illness, you know, that we talk about. And again, that's no joke. It just is a fact here. And you hate to see that happen to anybody under any condition. Because even if Joe had all his sense and nothing was wrong, people, do you think for a minute that, you know, he would win? Or do you think that America would want a socialist Marxist program? If all of that's fair and we flush all of that out to the public, I'll tell you what, again, to remind you, it could be very interesting come November 3rd, November 4th, what that outcome looks like. Now, that depends that we have results, and that depends on, you know, absentee voting versus the universal mail-in voting, which is being debated now everywhere from sea to sea here. Yeah, you know, that depends upon all of that as well, you know. And of course, it depends upon how many more, you know, tragedies we have with the China virus, and how many more masked people are wearing around, and what kind of fear we can push on the populace, and then how many cities we're burning from coast to coast, and maybe if everything looks like it's really headed south and Joe isn't doing well, and God forbid that, you know, somehow the polls reflect differently, which would be a real insult to injury, because we know that most Americans, most conservatives, most Trump supporters don't talk to pollsters. They're not interested, me included. I'm sure you out there, I don't know anybody really talking to pollsters, so their numbers are so far, which is why they can't figure it out. They're so lopsided one way, upside down, backwards. But, you know, let's say that all of a sudden Trump was ahead 5 points. And, of course, that would mean he's probably ahead 25 points because the majority of people are not talking to the public. But let's just say he was 5 up. Well, at that point, I can tell you what, they would try another impeachment deal before November. Or they'd call, you know, Xi Jinping and see if he has another virus he can unleash from the lab there. Or they would, you know, come up with something. I mean, you know, or God forbid, try to hurt the president. They've tried about everything one could possibly try to get him out of office. And you begin to look at the math on all this, and after, you know, 8 to 10 years of Obama and the Bush, end of the Bush legacy, and you see this transformation of America that was happening that most people were not happy with, which is why Donald Trump ran to begin with. He would have, I don't think he would have ran for president. I believe he was very happy with his life. I don't think he was unhappy with it. I didn't get that impression. I mean, golfing all the time, you got the money to do what you want to do, you're running business from the boardroom, having some fun, you're in your 70s, what the hell you got to lose, right? That's I turn those words back on the president, Mr. President. He uses that all the time on other people. I say, Mr. President, what the hell you got to lose? Why don't you just stay retired? He probably would have if he didn't see the country going off the edge and down the tank and down the toilet bowl, right? Probably would have stayed on the sidelines. I don't know that he would have jumped in. I'm not sure he would have, people. I think it was a last-ditch effort for him. I think he got the calling. I think his bat phone rang, and it was God Almighty calling his conscience and saying, young man or old man, you need to run for office here because you're the least one they'll expect. You know, that's a perfect thing that God would set up to fool everybody, you see, which is why the evangelicals and some of the really strong, devout Christians figured that out early on. But, you know, I think God has got a sense of humor and probably loves a good joke now and then. I'm almost certain of it now, very certain, actually. And I'm sure he thought, you know, oh, let's see here. I'm looking, see to shine and see, who do I got? And I'm sure God's sitting up there looking through his Rolodex and, oh, there's that Donald J. Trump. Wow. Oh, no, he had that trailer moment with Billy Bush talking about the women. Oh, he slept with a few women. Done a few things. Tried to pay less taxes. Man, they think he's a womanizer, a sinful kind of guy. Likes to have sex, has some money. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. God, I think God would say to himself, well, this is the perfect guy. I don't think they'll suspect him being linked to me in any way. I think I'll put him out there. We'll send him down the escalator. And, you know, he'll talk about things like trade policies against China, which, of course, is Satan's disciples. I mean, that's part of the Satan group over there, China, Xi Jinping, the China Communist Party. Yeah. So I think God had the sense of humor and said, you know, yeah, let's get that DJT. DJT. Yeah. That's the ticket. Let's get him. Yeah, we'll put him out there. We'll fool everybody. They won't know what hit them. And then, of course, some of the evangelicals who God talks to, by the way, and I think they have a relationship, you know, they probably looked and figured it out, and they said, okay, God, we got your gig. We got it. It's all right. We got your back. Don't worry about it, man. It's all good in the city. And I think probably a lot of these people realized that this was probably God thinking, well, you know what? We got to clean this thing up here. It's getting out of hand. The shining city on a hill ain't shining too much these days. How do we put the shine back in? Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of people who would have a lot to say about what I just said. My ears are burning right now, in fact. And you know what? I really don't give a darn. Don't really care. But I'm sure a lot of people would like to hit back real hard at everything I just put out there. I think God does work in mysterious ways. I think what goes around comes around in this lifetime. I think he very well knew it was a fool's game. And I think he is up to a practical joke now and then again. And I think it was time to play the cards, the DJT card. And I think he played it. Now, Trump at that point, being the ego that he has, and anybody who's successful, ego and confidence are pretty much the same thing. If you're really confident like me, they think, oh, you guys got a really big freaking ego, you know, because you're really confident, you know, or you got, you know, big kanunas, you know. I got all of that. Big kanunas, big kahunas. Kahunas would be the right word. Yeah. Confident. Ain't got an ego that I'm the best at what I do. So, yeah, I would understand this picture really well. So I can see Trump, you know, saying, you know, gets the call, his bat phone rings, the bat phone. Yeah, I see him taking off the shoe and talking into the shoe, the bat phone, right? Remember the bat phone? Talking to, you know. And you know, you don't visualize Trump really having a normal conversation with God either. That's, you know, that's not a normal conversation. I'd love to be there to see it, actually. To see Trump in the room and, you know, talking to God. But God, I can't do that. Come on. Right? God says, you can do it. Go get, come on. You just play that out that way. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but you know, DJT would say, but what about my golf game? And God said, well, you'll play a lot of golf. Don't worry about it, you know. Of course, we didn't suspect we'd have the China virus. We didn't expect that, did we? I don't know if God planned that or not. I know he didn't create the China virus. That was a product of the evil, for sure. Remember, man has free will here. Just don't lose sight of that, people. You can't blame everything on God. I know a lot of you, some of you out there do that. You run around, why does God do this? Man. Or they, you know, if there was a God, he wouldn't do that. Or there would be no human trafficking. There would be no sin. And there would be no murder. And there would be no killing. There would be nothing. Give me a break. It's called free will. We all have it. That was the gift of mankind. We weren't puppets to any, you know, bigger source. Although, you know, right, maybe there is another planet where we all have a double on and we're all like those penny cushions there, the whoopee dolls, you pin, you prick the thing with the pin and you're, ow! Yeah, maybe that is exist on a planet somewhere and we have a higher alter ego somewhere on some distant planet. I don't know. Well, we got off the beaten path here, didn't we, people? But anyways, you get the point of where God is in this. I think it is quite humorous that he called DJT. And DJT said, yeah, what the hey? I'm in my 70s now. I built a few buildings, hotels, golf courses, some had some fun, got laid a few times, made some money, you know, kept it. And I'll run for president. If that's what you want me to do, God Almighty. And God says, sure, let's do it. We'll save the Republic together. And off they went. Dun, 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 dun. All right, so back to this debate. Wow, what are we going to do here now? So we got Donald J. Trump, and we got Joe Biden. That's what we got for a debate. Now, there's supposed to be three presidential debates if they happen. And that isn't if, it's just a small little caveat here, people. Now, as typically, there's only going to be one vice presidential debate, and that is normal, right? Now, these debates were all put in, the dates were all picked, and they've been moved around already, like the University of Notre Dame did not want it. They were supposed to have it, the first one, at the end of September, but they canceled out, and the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor there. They canceled it out as well. That was supposed to take place in October, mid-October. And they said, no, thank you. Got the corona. We're all wearing our trusty, musty mask, breathing in our own breath of monoxide here, feeling good. Wow. And so that one was canceled out as well. And I guess one of them was moved to Miami. And, you know, they're just moving them around right now, trying to find somebody who can, you know, just be daring and bold to have this debate. Now, the VP one, by the way, with Mike Pence and, well, that could be Karen Bass. That could be, what are the, maybe it's somebody that's not even been talked about yet. You know, could be. I don't know. Susan Rice, they're all pretty hot about. They think she might be it, you know. And Kamala Harris, that's the other one, yeah. They're being talked about a lot, but in any event, who knows? Maybe Mother Mary will be the VP or something. He'll need some help somewhere, some godly help. But I don't think God is going to help the Marxists. I don't see that as a godly plan, a socialist Marxist politics, actually, people. So I'm not counting on that. I don't see his bat phone going off and, you know, a call from God coming in and saying, you know, I got the perfect VP for you here. I don't think so. I don't think that's happening. I mean, it's all good and evil. It's what it always is, people. I tell you that all the time. And so then you hear about these predictions. I started to talk about these predictions on the Viewpoint on the weekend. And interesting. I love how these predictions play out here. And so you got people who predict every campaign in the history of, you know, presidencies, like for the last many years, they predicted perfectly good, clean program. And Alan Lishman here, he's a political forecaster, historian, accurately predicted almost every presidential election of the past four decades, even confidently predicting that Donald Trump would win in 2016. This guy is a brain. Now he's predicting Joe Biden will be the winner. And now there are a bunch of caveats. He has a video up at the New York Times where he shares those caveats at the end of his video. And so check that one out and see. But he's got Biden winning. And again, and one other thing he says here, he did correctly predict these results, supposedly, since 84. And then it says, I love the kit, one of these other caveats right up front here. Aside from the 2000 election, when Republican George W. Bush, one of the other world globalists, presidential guys there, took power following a controversial Supreme Court decision. And Bush's Democrat opponent, Al Gore, Mr. Weatherman there, won the popular vote. But Bush clinched a narrow win in Florida. With the hanging chad, we remember all that, right? I take the Electoral College. So what Lishman comes back and says, well, but, you know, he claims that that's an incorrect prediction because Gore would win in 2000. Shouldn't count because he predicted Gore to win because someone winning the popular vote and losing the Electoral College doesn't happen normally. And so, I mean, these people are unbelievable. I mean, they lie to themselves. So that one didn't count, obviously. But yet we pick a president based on the Electoral College, not the popular vote, right? There's a reason why that is, because it is called the United States of America. It's not the, you know, California, New York states of America. I mean, come on, people. Grow a brain, will you? Figure it out. And so this other one now, another professor, by the way, who accurately predicted 25 of 27 elections, predicts a Trump 2020 win. Now, this is a different one. Helmut Norpoth, a political science professor at Stony Brook University. He predicted, by the way, Trump would win in 2016. He did. And he's predicted 25 out of 27 elections. And he says that he's more than 90% certain that Trump will be the winner. And so I just love how these experts who have flawless records on both sides can predict totally separate winners and feel, you know, somebody's going to have their bubble busted here. probably because they're not going to, both guys can't win this thing, you see. But the other guy who loses will probably make up a reason why and keep his record good. So when 2024 comes in, they'll also run a story again and say, well, but this guy has almost like a perfect record. He's like a professor of brilliance, I'm telling you. I mean, you just can't make it up, people. But it works for the media, so it should work for you as well. Well, I'm going to be fascinated to see what happens here coming into this season here, this November. It's going to be very interesting to see our nation and to see how we have responded as a people. God forbid anything goes wrong, and God willing, we get through without a lot of fanfare. I mean, how many more surprises and how many hits to the gut can we take here in this nation? Election 2020, for sure. Hiding Biden. How long can they hide Biden? And that is the hide Biden. How long can they hide the Biden? Right? And will that keep going on? And if they hide Biden long enough, maybe the American people, as the one guy says, they're not that dumb. They shouldn't be that dumb. We hope they're not that dumb. Well, they're not dumb. So if all things play out the way it is, the good news is we'll have a great conversation come November 4th. Again, God willing, the creek don't rise, as they say here. Oh, boy. Friends, thank you for being on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.